from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up in forums next hour, the imposing bunkers and military structures of San Francisco's Presidio once held munitions, but for the next few months they will hold art. The exhibit, titled Homeland Security, is organized by the same nonprofit that brought Ai Weiwei's work to Alcatraz back in 2014. And this project brings together the works of 18 artists from 12 countries who consider the human costs of war, borders, and security. And we'll talk with the exhibit's curator, some of the artists featured, and a National Parks official about the unique collaboration. That's next, right after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to another hour of this morning's forum program. In a suite of former military structures overlooking the San Francisco Bay and near the foot of the Golden Gate Bridge, a free large-scale art exhibit of painting, sculpture, video, and performance art is on display. And the exhibit centers around themes of security, safety, and defense, and the human costs of war and nationalism. It features 18 artists from 12 different countries, along with the Golden Gate National Conservancy and the Presidio Trust. The exhibit is a partnership of the National Park Service and the nonprofit Foresight, which set up the exhibit of the Chinese artist Ai Weiwei on Alcatraz back in 2014. Joining us to talk about this exhibit, and it's something to get excited about, if I may say so, Cheryl Haynes is here with us in studio. She's executive director of Foresight Foundation and curator of the exhibit Homeland Security, which again is housed in former military structures in the Presidio. And we ought to mention that the exhibit will be showing through the 18th of December. Cheryl Haynes, welcome.
Thank you, Michael. It's great to be here. And thank you, listeners, for your interest.
And Aaron Roth is with us as well. Aaron Roth is acting general superintendent of Golden Gate Natural, well, is natural in many ways, National Recreation Area. Welcome, Aaron Roth.
Thank you, Michael. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you here. With that uniform of yours and that badge, I feel like I should be calling you Officer Roth or something like that, right?
You're welcome to, but Ranger will be fine.
Ranger Roth. Okay. How about Aaron?
That's fine as well.
Okay. Shiva Arman, Ahmadi is also here. She's one of the artists whose work is exhibited as part of the Homeland Security exhibit. She's also an assistant professor of art at UC Davis. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Michael, for having me.
We are glad to have you. And Cheryl Haynes, let me begin with you, and let's talk about how this evolved. You were really, in many ways, one of those most responsible for the Ai Weiwei exhibit, as I said in my introduction. And talk about Foresight. I mean, Foresight was established, back in 2003? So how did this pertain? What was the genesis for this? How did this come into being? And how did Foresight play its role?
Well, Michael, we started actually in 2003, you're correct, primarily as an artisan residency and education program based out of Nevada City. But we felt we weren't having enough public dialogue with our work. And we started looking for appropriate sites to activate with what we call art about place. And essentially what that is engaging with artists that respond to a particular place at a moment in time. In the last four exhibitions that we've done here in San Francisco, they have all been in the Golden Gate National Recreation Area. Presidio Habitats was our first project in Fort Scott, actually not too far from where Homeland Security is located. Our second project was on the 75th anniversary of the Golden Gate Bridge in Fort Point. And if those of you have not been to Fort Point, it is really one of the most fantastic buildings in San Francisco. It's the only Civil War period fort in the Bay Area, or on the West Coast, actually. And then, of course, the Ai Weiwei at large on Alcatraz, which was our largest undertaking until this particular project. And Homeland Security came. There were a couple of flashpoints actually that gave me the idea for this project. One of them is Ai Weiwei himself. I was meeting with him in Paris, and I was catching up with him and finding out what he was being interested by now and his current projects. And we began to speak about his work on the island of Lesbos, Greece, and his documentation of the refugees there. And we had a deeply moving conversation about what's happening and the human cost and suffering that is occurring through these forced migrations in many places in the world. So I thought that would be something that is really worth having a conversation about. The second flashpoint, interestingly, was upon my return from Iran. I was visiting artists in Tehran in February, and when I returned, people kept saying, "Oh my gosh, aren't you courageous to go there? Weren't you afraid? Didn't you feel like you were being surveilled?" And it occurred to me that there was an incredible disconnect because, frankly, the people there were so welcoming and lovely and went out of their way to ask me if I was an American and how pleased they were that I was there and how the Iranian people love the American people. So between those two conversations, I realized that there is really so much cultural misunderstanding in the world. And as a curator who is increasingly interested in working with artists that illuminate social issues, that this could be a very good opportunity to do so.
Well, I know it's always dangerous to talk about intention, but I know a lot of your intent was to show the attitudes that can be unfortunate where the other is concerned. I mean, it's a universal problem, the other being demonized, the other being put in a position of scapegoat and so forth. But you also are raising some serious questions here. I mean, what do we mean by safety? What do we mean by security? What do we do in terms of borders to protect ourselves, not only as nations, but as people? And I think that the exhibit does a great deal to bring into light those kind of questions and the barriers that exist. And I want to talk about some of the individual exhibits with you. First, let me bring Aaron Roth into this, though, who, again, is Acting General Superintendent for Golden Gate Natural Recreation Area. And Aaron Roth, this is really a collaboration. I mean, what's your role?
Well, for us in the National Park Service, it's an exciting year because we're turning 100. And that means that in our centennial year, we now have 100 years of experience in caring for America's special places. And as we look forward to our next century of stewardship, we know that there's one thing we've learned in the past 100 years of doing this. It's in order to be successful, we really need to connect these national parks to people and help them not only be inspired and feel that sense of awe when they arrive, but also find some deeper meaning in the parks and the places and connect themselves to the heritage that's all around them in these national parks. And so this collaboration between ourselves and the Presidio Trust and the Golden Gate National Parks Conservancy and Foresight, we've come together to really showcase what in the next century national parks can do to engage in a deeper conversation and bring even deeper meaning to these wonderful places. And I think this exhibit is a great example of that, and we really look forward to doing more of the same in the next century.
It's an added enhancement, too. I mean, this is open and free to the public, and they may want to go to the park under normal circumstances, but it brings them to the park. It's kind of a twofer in that sense, you know, to see some art on display. And I think what I'm struck by here is also the appropriateness of this particular theme to the Presidio. I mean, these bunkers were used for all kinds of military purposes, and here you've got military purposes on display in many of the exhibit artwork.
Definitely, and we see this as an extremely relevant exhibit to the context. A little bit about the Presidio. It's at the heart of the Golden Gate National Recreation Area, and it has an extensive military history dating all the way back to 1776 and has served as an important strategic post in defending the Golden Gate Strait for hundreds of years. This particular site is really captivating in a number of ways. It sits on the edge of the Presidio Bluffs, and where you see these steep serpentine cliffs fall into the bay. And above those cliffs are these military-built fortifications. These fortifications are these huge hunks of concrete on top of brick and earthworks, and they were critical to defending the homeland from the late 1800s all the way through World War II, and they were upgraded and revised several times. And so in this context, thinking about all the great benefits we as a country have achieved through homeland security and all the safety that we enjoy through the Army's dedicated service on the Presidio. It's just a wonderful place to reflect and contemplate that security and what it has meant for us as a people.
And what a view you have from up there, too. I mean, I used to say Alcatraz is probably the greatest view of all, but it's rival. It's in that category. Aaron Rothigan is acting general superintendent with the Golden Gate National Recreation Area, and Shiva Amati's with us. We're going to talk with Shiva Amati about her exhibit, Lotus, but I want to first talk with Cheryl Haynes about some of the other exhibits so we can get a picture here from you, Cheryl, about what's on display here. And when you talk about the military, of course, I think about that AK-47 M16 in a glass. I mean, describe what that is. I mean, it's actually very unusual, as many of these pieces are that we see, and many of these installations are.
Well, if I might just speak a little bit more broadly, and I'd love to talk about that piece because I find it very powerful. But one of the challenges and great delights in curating this exhibition was bringing together the voices of 18 artists from so many different perspectives to discuss the basic tenets of this project.
And a dozen different countries, yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, what is home? What is safety? What is security? And you're right, fear of other is really at the baseline of all of this. And I think it has led to so much cultural misunderstanding, ethnic profiling, forced migration. And each artist approaches it in a very different way, with a beautiful, with a soft hand in some cases. The work is conceptually rigorous. It's aesthetically beautiful, but I think it also walks that line of being able to activate the spaces in a strong way, but to welcome the public, which in many cases is a general public coming across these works without any forewarning that there's an art exhibition there.
And it's sort of like one after the other. I mean, that's why I wanted – I'm glad you gave us sort of the major thematic picture. But I thought we could talk about some of these individually, and then we'll talk with Shiva about her. And we also have another artist that we're going to talk to, Kara Megan Lewis, about her project, which is called 34,000 Pillows. But before we get to those two individually, I'd like – talk about – because so many of these were striking to me. I began with the AK-47 M16 because
right.
It is one of the more striking things you see.
Well, as the visitor enters, actually one of the more dramatic structures contained in the project, Battery Gottfried, which is an underground cement coastal battery installation, and it was where the ammunition and gunpowder was stored. And there was a very, very large-scale gun that was located on the top of the structure, and the soldiers that worked there were responsible for loading this gun. And the shells were actually 1,000 pounds each. And there is one on display in the bunker, which is quite fascinating. So the notion of that the propeller group, which is based in Vietnam, and one of the artists came over for the installation, it's based on sort of a famous occurrence from the Civil War where two bullets were fired and fused in midair. A remarkable circumstance, sort of an unseeable, unknowable circumstance in a way. This piece deals with many things. It deals with conflict. It deals with the unseen, the unknowable. They took a block of ballistics gel, which is the closest material that to the human body, and it's actually used to test ballistics to this day. And they shot it from each direction, an M16 and AK-47, and you see the collision within the gel and the different behaviors of each bullet. And behind that piece, there's a high-speed video that is of the collision that has been slowed down to show the impact.
It's fascinating to look at. And I should mention here, by the way, there's a video on our website with additionally with information about the show itself. There are a lot of things that involve, shall we say, weapons. There's an artist who puts together a church and a synagogue and a mosque, and they're all built of weapons and bullets and so forth. And then there's a place that you can walk by and actually see things that were taken by the TSA. The artist's name?
Michelle Pride,
yeah. And it's just all stuff that was taken by people going through the airport. And then you have a concourse where you actually see a painting of people going through the airport. And there's just so many things that evoke along the lines that Cheryl is outlining for us, the feeling of what people do for security and what they really invades their consciousness, because these pieces certainly invade ours. And Shiva Amades does as well. She's part of the Homeland Security exhibit, also assistant professor of art at UC Davis. I said when I looked at your painting, I thought of a lot of mythic Persian. So, I mean, you actually, yeah, you were in Iran during the Iran-Iraq War.
I grew up during Iran-Iraq War and revolution. And I moved to United States in 1998, 2 years before September 11. And then also a few years before the invasion of Iraq. So a lot of anxiety, a lot of instability that eventually came into, you know, it's kind of obvious in my work.
But there is, in your work, I mean, it's work that's quite animated and colorful. But there's also, again, the disturbing nature of weaponry.
Of course.
And tell us how you bring that into the painting, actually, because it's unusual.
So my works are very political just because of the way I grew up and ugly time in my country. But also I didn't want to be very direct. My works are very, influenced by Persian and Indian miniature painting. So they're in a way very narrative. And in the animation that I have at the show, I have the leader that is sitting on a throne and it's kind of controlling the whole world around him. And all these monkeys that are serving him are playing with, bombs and explosives very carelessly. And it
seems like hand grenades too.
Yes. And it seems that nobody cares. And it's just the whole idea was to kind of show, kind of make the audience feel a little bit anxious as, what's going to happen? All these monkeys are juggling with the grenade. What if, they fell down? What's going to happen? There will be explosion. And to me, it's kind of like the state of the, it's a current affair in the world. And
it reflects the danger of weaponry in general,
exactly.
Let alone nuclear weaponry.
Exactly.
But you, in your work as an artist, I mean, talk about your use, for example, of you have salt granules and you have rice and you have hair. And
yes.
How did those play a role?
Well, the lotus is based on a painting that I did, a watercolor painting. And I just to start the background with a wash of watercolor and some rice and salt and brush hair. And I just wanted to create a very chaotic scene that, also shows like the arrows and all these lines are that, just moving and kind of creating the sense of anxiety that I was looking for.
You wanted to create anxiety.
Yes.
Again, Shiva Amati, part of the Homeland Security exhibit and also assistant professor at UC Davis. I want to bring in another artist, but before I do, let me go back, if I may, Cheryl Haynes, to you. Because one of the most compelling and arresting installations is The Martyrs. Can you just describe for listeners what that is? It uses the elements, earth, water, air, fire.
Yes, it's an installation by Bill Viola, who is a remarkably talented video artist, lives in L.A. And as you enter this darkened room, you encounter four video screens, one on each wall, and they are depicting an individual that is being sort of addressed or buffeted by the elements, air, water, fire, and earth. And to me, I think it very simply, symbolically represents...
You're saying they're buffeted by, they're being killed by these elements too, aren't they?
Well, there's a question there. We don't know that. It doesn't occur in the video.
With the title Martyr, I just assumed that was what was being conveyed.
I think the artist leaves it as a question because there's no actual ending that is... experience.
You see a guy being just about consumed by fire and being drowned by earth and everything. It certainly is an easy association to make. I mean, I'm sorry. I like ambiguity, but I didn't see. I saw art, but I didn't see the ambiguity that you're saying the artist wanted.
I don't. My read on it is very simply that the lengths that people will go to support their beliefs and what they will endure. But I don't think that I don't feel an end there.
Well, that's true. They're alive. They're actors, and they stay alive. But it's something that engages you in all your senses because of the elements. And Kara Megan Lewis is another one of the artists, one half of the artist collaborative Diaz Lewis, and part of the Homeland Security exhibit. Their project is called 34,000 Pillows, and she's with us this morning from Chicago. And Kara Megan Lewis, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Michael.
Glad to have you aboard here. Tell us about this exhibit of yours, because it's also tied in with, with a social act of sorts, this major.
Yeah, actually. So 34,000 Pillows is an ongoing and participatory artwork through which my collaborator Alejandro and I are creating pillows daily from clothing mostly donated by undocumented immigrants, green card holders, former detainees, as well as their allies. So in short, each pillow represents an immigrant detained by Immigrations and Customs Enforcement to fulfill a statutory quota established by the Congressional Bed Mandate. This is a little-known mandate introduced in 2009 that incentivizes Immigration and Customs Enforcement to keep 34,000 beds filled in detention centers on a daily basis. So our project, in general, is an attempt to materialize the human impact of this system, to give a human voice to what is more often perceived as a sequence of numbers.
And can you describe what people will see when they see the project?
Yeah, so we are fortunate enough to activate two incredible sites in Fort Scott. So we are in our workshop, and an open workshop that's open to the public on Saturdays and Sundays to contribute pillow designs is in the Nike admin building. That's kind of the entry point to the exhibition. And then later on down the exhibition in Battery Boutel, you'll see the growing pile of pillows.
And it's quite something to see, I might add. Again, Kara Megan Lewis with us from Chicago, part of the artist's collaborative Diaz Lewis. I'm going to open our phone lines. There are many of you who probably will avail yourself of this exhibit. You should. But I'd like to know if you have any questions, because certainly we can bring them to the fore here. But also, we're talking about some big subjects here, social commentary art and sight art and art that brings you into place in many ways. Opportunity to talk with our guests about not only this kind of art, but also you may have some questions just about the Presidio and its history. Aaron Roth is here to perhaps answer some of those in terms of its military history or the exhibit itself. And again, I would alert you to the fact that a video, which provides a good deal of information, is on our website. But we welcome your questions or comments, and you can join us now. Toll-free number 866-733-6786. Please feel free to join the program and the conversation. Again, you can do that by dialing in at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. You can also, of course, email any questions or comments you might have, forum@kqed.org, or post them on our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. Or you can tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. Or go to our Facebook page, Talking with Cheryl Haynes and Aaron Roth and Shiva Amati and Kara Megan Lewis. And you, when we return, this is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. We're talking about an exhibit at the Presidio, a suite of former military structures overlooking the San Francisco Bay and near the foot of the Golden Gate Bridge. It's a free exhibit, a large-scale art exhibit of painting, sculpture, video, and performance art on display for you. And the exhibit centers around themes of security, safety, and defense, and the human costs of war and nationalism, featuring 18 artists from 12 different countries. And along with the Golden Gate National Conservancy and the Presidio Trust, the exhibit is a partnership of the National Park Service and the nonprofit Foresight, which set up the exhibit of the Chinese artist Ai Weiwei on Alcatraz in 2014. And this is an interactive program, and if you have questions about the Presidio exhibit, we would like to hear from you. If you also have some thoughts about art and its relationship to not only social commentary, but particularly examining human cost of national security and how it can make us more aware, as many of these pieces and installations do, of the borders that exist between us as human beings, and perhaps will not only foster anxiety about borders, which often come into play, as we heard from Shiv Amati, who's here with us in studio, but also misunderstanding, enmity, division, and so forth. Cheryl Haynes is with us. She's executive director of the Foresight Foundation and curator of the exhibit. It's called Homeland Security, housed in former military structures in the Presidio, and again exhibited through December 18th. You can, in fact, go there. And in fact, let's put a pitch out here, Cheryl. We'll introduce the other guests who are with us in just a moment. You need volunteers, too, don't you?
Yes, Michael. This exhibition is housed in five different locations: the Nike Missile Program Administration Building, three coastal defense batteries from the late 1800s and early 1900s, and a chapel. And none of these buildings have been open to the public before, so there's a great deal of interest of people to see what is inside. However, we do have a responsibility to protect the cultural resource, the artworks contained, and to interpret this complex project to the public. And we are looking for volunteers to help us do this.
And people can volunteer by just contacting you on your website? Or
contact foresight.org. On the website, call the Foresight office.
That's F-O-R-S-I-T-E, Foresight. And you can, of course, join this program now by dialing in toll-free. Our number is 866-733-6786. You might want to get a heads up on this exhibit if you have questions, or for that matter, if you happen to have seen it and it opened, had a big opening this past weekend, you may want to comment on what you saw. Aaron Roth is also with us, acting general superintendent of Golden Gate National Recreation Area. And Officer Ranger Roth, what would you like people to walk away from this exhibit, other than what you outlined before about that coalescence between park and art and experiencing both?
Yeah, well, I know that, national parks in our next century, we know there's many important roles they can play in people's lives. The recreation, the inspiration that they already enjoy, meeting their health goals can happen in parks. And also connections to the heritage, where people come from, where we come as a people, and what we've done in the past and experienced. And so I think, for me, having folks come to this exhibit, whether they're just on their daily jog or they've traveled thousands of miles to see the Golden Gate Bridge, if they do want to connect with that history and go a little bit deeper and explore what Homeland Security has meant for us as a people, and even these lands and these dark tunnels that have been created and these out of the way places, what does all that mean, and invite them to explore and think a little bit more deeply about the military history that is all throughout the Golden Gate National Recreation Area and has some really compelling and important stories and a legacy there to explore.
And since you mentioned what Homeland Security means, I'd like to also put out the question to our listeners, particularly since we just actually had the anniversary of 9/11, it brought a lot of these questions to mind, as this exhibit does. I mean, you go into this exhibit, for example, and you see a concourse and you see all these things, scissors and all kinds of things that people, pocket knives and everything, that were taken away from them by TSA when they went through the security that before 9/11 nobody had to go through. I mean, this is a legacy of Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda, and we have to go through this kind of security. But I was also struck by the fact that surveillance comes into this exhibit as well. There are code names of the code names that people who are under surveillance used, and I got to tell you, they're fascinating. The names of these people, the monikers that they give themselves. So, I'd like to hear from some of you again, your thoughts about that as well. And this is an interactive program. You can join us by emailing us forum@kqed.org or going to our website kqed.org/forum or tweeting us. Our Twitter handle is @kqedforum. I want to talk to the artists for a moment again, too. Shiv Amati with us And actually, talk about your first reaction, Shiva, when you went to the site itself.
Oh, my God. It was well, when I heard about this show, I was invited to this show. I was very excited because Cheryl Hines is such a great curator, and I wanted to work with her, of course. And so when I went to the site, I got out of the car. It was such beautiful, it was a beautiful national park and a very beautiful view of the bridge, Golden Gate Bridge. And then we got into the building, and it was like a very rough, abandoned building with broken windows and everything. And I was like, wow, so the show is going to be here. And Cheryl started telling me about the history of this, place and the whole concept. And then it clicked. I was actually very excited because I thought that, wow, this is my work, and I think the work of many of these artists couldn't be placed in a much better environment.
Well, those bunkers were there, and they tie in so much with the theme of the exhibit, as we've been saying. And maybe, Aaron Roth, you could talk a little bit more about what the bunkers were used for.
Sure. Well, as I mentioned before, these were critical in the defense of the Golden Gate Strait, and strategic because the reason the bridge is there and these fortifications are there is this is where the Golden Gate narrows, and it's a defensible spot. In the late 1800s and all the through World War I, defense of harbors was key to being successful as a military power. And out here on the West Coast, San Francisco was the premier harbor to defend. And so there were strategic decisions that in order to protect the homeland, we needed to have a fortified entrance. We're very fortunate that those lands were saved by the Army because they then were able, through citizen advocacy, to become a national park. But originally, these hills were quite sculpted and changed from their natural state. And all of these guns to basically defend from naval invasion through the Golden Gate were placed here. And inside, the Army was relentlessly prepared to deal with that invasion and did a whole variety of exercises. Although the batteries never came under fire, they were continuously invested in and utilized, and now they're comparatively very quiet relative to that whole period of preparation and anxiety that must have been felt all through the Civil War, all the way through to the Cold War.
Plus, there was all this talk about Japan attacking us and
yes.
So forth. I mean, you really get a great deal of history and more than just a morsels or two when you go to this part of the Presidio and then you investigate it further, as I found myself doing. I want to go to your calls and emails here. Let me first go back to Kara Megan Lewis, though, who again is with us from Chicago, and she's part of the artist collaborative Diaz Lewis and has an exhibit there called 34,000 Pillows. I want to find out a little more from you about the exhibit, Kara Megan Lewis, if you could, and because those who see the exhibit will become involved in it. I mean, it's a participatory event.
That's right. We're really encouraging participation from the public. This bed mandate is something that we are mostly all implicated in because it is taxpayer money that is paying, in essence, for the beds in detention. I think that kind of that hands-on invitation is incredibly crucial in speaking about an issue like this that involves so many people. So I think that the best way to learn and kind of understand one's place in such an issue is to really get involved. So on the opening weekends, on Saturday and Sunday, we had families in. We had a grandmother with her grandson. We had families from many different countries involved designing pillows to contribute to the pile.
There's a lot to see here. I mean, even an hour, we're not doing it justice, but we're going to go to your phone calls here. I keep thinking about that South African painter, too, who gives us these life-size, taking photographs and turning them into life-size paintings, which are I mean, really something. They're photographs, yeah, but they're turned into paintings. I mean, they're really something that's what look like paintings. Excuse me, they almost look like reproductions of paintings from photography. Let me get Tom on first. Tom, you're on. Morning.
Hey, good morning, Michael. Great show, and thanks for taking my call. And good morning, distinguished guests. The thing that really inflames my imagination, I haven't seen the show yet, is that the installations were never actually fired or came under enemy fire, even during the Civil War, I heard. This is like the radar installations that were built during the Cold War, like medieval castles. There's even underground Nike bunkers still at Castle Rock State Park in the Santa Cruz Mountains in Upper Sanborn County Park, which I think people should also visit. But the people who actually did come under fire should also be included in the exhibit, mainly Native Californians, because they had a natural fortress here protected, by the Pacific Ocean and their vast continent, which was eventually breached. And they were, ironically, the only ones who ever were decimated, modern American citizens, starting with the 1776 conflict. So I was wondering if that could be included as well.
Yeah, well, thank you for that historical background. Tom, good to hear from you. Might be useful here to – well, did you want to respond, Aaron Roth, to his comments?
Sure. Well, I think the caller rightly recognizes that even before the Presidio's function as a military post, these lands played an important role as the ancestral homeland for the Ohlone people. And the Native Americans that inhabited land is one of the stories that is well told on the Presidio in a number of different ways. And we invite the Ohlone to come in and tell the story about that time before it became a military post. And indeed, it is another chapter in securing the homeland that it's important for us to recall, study, and reflect on is the transition of those lands in the Presidio from the Ohlone to military posts.
When you say you invited the Ohlone to, you mean they have actually come and lectured and talked?
Yes, definitely. We have exhibits throughout the Presidio and throughout the Golden Gate National Recreation Area that tell the story in the descendants' own words about the ancestral peoples and what they did here.
It might be useful, though, at this point to talk about how you actually get to the exhibit, where it is in terms of the Presidio.
Sure. The exhibit is located, the starting point is located just on the southwest side of the Golden Gate Bridge, and there's a whole variety of transportation options to arrive there on that south side of the Golden Gate Bridge and start your exploration. And a lot of them are available on Foresight's website that Cheryl mentioned before, where there's opportunity to take Muni buses or the Presidigo shuttle from BART and start your experience at that south side of the Golden Gate Bridge.
And we said that link is on our website too.
Correct. And make that link. And within an hour and a half, there is just tremendous experiences that can be had. And one compliment I have for Cheryl on this exhibit is she really has brought a veritable army of artists to this exhibit. And there is so much to take in. And each one, different ones will speak to you in different ways. So it's an exhibit you can actually come back to one, two, or even three times and have a slightly different experience and a different feeling about it. I know that's been the case for me.
Well, apropos of what you just said, I'm looking at an email here from Jennifer in Petaluma who said, and this is to you, Cheryl, could the curator speak to her selection process? How did she research artists and select works?
Well, I've been working in the art world for almost 30 years, and a number of the artists included in the exhibition I either know personally or I've known of their work. Others are new to me, and it was important for me to choose artists that had a very unique way of, as stating earlier, where there's a conceptual rigor, there's an aesthetic beauty. And there's an ability to.
You're looking at Shiva, who said she wanted to work with you as a curator, in fact.
Shiva was one of the first artists that I selected and I hope to approach in this project because I love the work and I'm very touched by it. And I've also traveled to Iran a number of times. I have great interest in Persian culture, and I just thought her work really walk that line between having sort of political content and aesthetic beauty, and that there is a way in for pretty much any visitor to relate to it on one level or another. So it was a somewhat complicated process in neither the site came first or the artist. They kind of occurred simultaneously. And it was literally a conversation of who do I know in the world that I respect that can address these issues that are complex yet very important, but do it in a way where we're not providing answers, we're asking questions.
Which means you probably had to leave out a lot of artists, huh?
There are hundreds of artists working within this field of inquiry, yeah. And that was actually very, very difficult. But we also wanted to make sure we included the human voice and the human face. And Alexia Webster that you mentioned
South
earlier,
African, yeah.
She flew all the way from Johannesburg to come to the opening, which was so lovely. And I'm deeply moved by her work. She goes to refugee camps and sets up these mobile photographic studios. And apparently the line of people waiting to receive – to have their photographs taken and then receive them as a gift from the artist are lengthy. And – I mean, just think of leaving your home, fleeing with almost nothing, and to be given this gift of identity, of place, of recollection of who you are. She said it was very charming because people would share clothing. They would borrow things. They would dress each other.
They would wait in line to be photographed. Long lines, right?
Long lines. Yeah. I mean, there were food lines and there were photography lines.
Right.
And how important it was for them to receive this gift of a picture of them and their identity. She has a much bigger project that she's working on that will be hopefully something that I can assist with in future. But and then the human voice. Luz Marie Sanchez has beautiful sound installation in Marcus Miller, which is the oldest coastal defense battery in the project. And it's very merely a mixing and recitation of the 2,487 voice names of the people that have been died crossing the Mexico-U.S. border between 1996 and 2003. It's so beautiful.
Could I get you to talk about, you mentioned the chapel, and I want to talk about religion and all this. Maybe we can talk with you about this too, Shiva. And Kara, I mean, because it does play a role. Like I said, there is an exhibit by Al Faro, part of the Homeland Security exhibit, where you have houses of worship that are made with missiles and bullets and guns and you know all kinds of material that's associated with death and violence. Rather controversial. I mean, that kind of exhibit probably couldn't be even exhibited in so many countries. One should, I think, be thankful of the fact that we have that kind of freedom here, if I can editorialize for a moment. Because you think about all the nations where that freedom simply not only doesn't exist, but quite the opposite. But I'm wondering, when you walk into the chapel, you see something that's quite arresting. Maybe you can describe it for us, Cheryl?
Well, it's five sculptures that are suspended from the roof by young Iranian artist Shapur Puran. And they almost look like missiles, or they're very anthropomorphic.
They do look like missiles. Yeah, I thought
but
so.
They're also...
They're Rorschach-y, though, right?
Yeah, they could be angels. I mean, they have a lot of different associations, but they're handmade in Tehran by a metalsmith shop. And they contain all this beautiful calligraphy that is carved into the steel that is, once again, reminiscent of high Persian culture. And I really like the notion that there is a certain ambiguity about them. And for them to be hanging in this
in
place
a church.
Of worship.
Yeah. Very practical question. Stephen wants to know, is the exhibit wheelchair accessible?
Certain buildings are. The Nike missile building is, the chapel is, Gottfried potentially with assistance, but we have also created a handicap accessibility video, which provides an equivalent experience, and they're also working with Matterport to do a virtual reality complete review of the exhibition that will be available as well.
By the way, when I was talking about the freedom that many of us celebrate in this nation and in other nations. I was thinking, Shiva Amati, of the fact that there was cooperation in this whole exhibit from the government. The TSA, for example, handed over all of these scissors and so forth, and the code names of covert operations and the use of these old bunkers was in cooperation with the government. I'm not making a brief here for the government necessarily, but it's heartening when that kind of cooperation exists. And when you hear Cheryl talk about Iran and how welcome she was there, but we associate Iran with a kind of oppression that's very antithetical to that.
Absolutely. I am just very always, it's always been, the stereotype has always been there that, you know, because of what's going on with the government and what we hear in the news, that, you know, Iranian people are, you know, just the same as the government. And it's couldn't be
farther from the truth, particularly exactly. Since most of the Iranian people are young and in many ways secular.
Very creative. in a country that censorship is like so big, you know, all these artists just find a way to be creative and create such beautiful, amazing, and new artwork that unfortunately not many of them can be seen.
With all that censorship from the mullahs, they have to be even a thousand times more creative to put out what they're being able to produce. And You're listening to the Forum program, by the way, and we are talking not only with Shiva Amati, but also with Aaron Roth and Cheryl Haynes. And this is a fundraising period for KQED Public Radio. For more information about how to support KQED, go to kqed.org. I'm Michael Krasny. And let me go to some emails here. This is a question, I think, for you, Cheryl Haynes. A listener wants to know, what are the nonprofit ties and partnerships with the art in the exhibition? For example, any NGO beneficiaries in this exhibit?
Well, that's a very good question, actually, Kara. We should tell people. So the pillows that are being produced for this project, if people are willing to donate $159 to Human Rights Watch, they can choose a pillow, because $159 is equivalent to what it costs the U.S. government to detain an illegal immigrant on a daily basis. So if you visit the site, we will have a SKU code that you can scan in and make the donation directly to Human Rights Watch and choose a pillow.
That's great. And Kara Megan Lewis, let me go back to you, that question I raised about I was raising in part with Shiva Amati the whole question of the intersection of religion. There are a lot of religious themes in these works and national security concerns.
You know, religious organizations in the United States actually, well, they have the opportunity to play a big role in providing safe sanctuary to undocumented immigrants. And it's actually through an organization, interfaith organization, Interfaith Committee for Detained Immigrants, that we even began this project. They are an organization based in Chicago that has two hospitality houses that basically give accommodations and physical address to those who are recently released from detention centers and give them a place to stay until their immigration trials come up. So, and there are many, many more in the Bay Area that we're also researching and hoping to partner with. So that's where probably the intersection of religion comes into our artwork.
Well, in a lot of the exhibits, it's also the oppressive nature of religion in terms of making it impossible for people to have the security that they might like. I'm also interested in finding out from both the artists we have with us, Kara Megan Lewis on the line and Shiva Amati here in studio. What was the thing? Let me begin with you, Shiva Amati. When you saw the exhibit in its entirety, what was it? I mean, you're an art professor. What struck you the most? Can you say?
Well, the whole concept and the fear of others that Cheryl talked about, it was just amazing to me that somebody is addressing that and raising the question and all choosing all these artists together who are actually all of them individually in different ways are talking about the same exact questions and just basically raising awareness instead of answering anything. And I hope that, you know, the viewers who are coming to the site start thinking about all these, you know, social and political issues that are going on in the world.
Well, it's hard to avoid thinking about them when you see the exhibit, but that was a good diplomatic answer, the whole exhibit. Kara Megan Lewis, anything that particularly struck you that you would particularly highlight?
Yes, I was particularly moved by, and Cheryl will have to help me with the last name, but Christoph's video installation of Veterans Flame that allows for the voices of veterans to tell their stories, and the breath, it seems as though the breath is activating this flame, which is a video projection. Cheryl, what's his last name?
It's Christoph Vodichko.
Yes, thank you. That was particularly moving, especially in the context of the site.
Well, I have an important question here, Aaron Roth, for you. We're coming toward the end of this hour, alas, but this is a listener who says, are there any health risks in the bunkers from materials previously stored in them? I'm reminded of the contamination of Tamalpais Peter Coyote documented and the radioactivity on Treasure Island.
Well, it's true that in many of lands around the Golden Gate National Recreation Area, former military posts, the lands themselves had played a price in terms of paid a price in terms of the level of contaminants that we were left with and working with. And in fact, this particular site was the site of several large-scale remediation efforts to remove a lot of those contaminants from the environment.
You see signs, no asbestos.
Correct. And then thankfully, we were able to partner with the Parks Conservancy and Foresight to do some last mile of remediation, some of the details within these buildings.
So it's safe. You don't have to wear a gas mask, right?
It is safe.
Okay, I'll leave it
there. Thank you.
And the public is invited, and you're also invited to look on our website and see the video and get information about the show. And our thanks to Cheryl Haynes, who's the Executive Director of Foresight Foundation, Aaron Roth, Acting General Superintendent, Golden Gate National Recreation Center, and the two artists, Shiva Amati and Kara Megan Lewis. You can see their work. Go to the exhibit. It's really worth seeing. Forum is produced by Judy Campbell, Irene Noguchi, Tina Larberg. Our engineer is Danny Bringer, engagement producer Amanda Stupai, executive producer is Joanne Wallace, our senior editor is Dan Zoll. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and the Bernard Osher Foundation, supporting higher education and the arts.